Welcome everyone to this week's weekly market update, July 31st, about 3 hours prior to the equity market close with myself and Carl. How are you?
I am doing just well today, Scott. Yourself?
I am doing very well for such an active economic news week this week. So let's just go ahead and dive into that. First, let's just start by talking about the equity markets. It's still the same pattern, just grinding higher. It's not very unusual for summer months to be very low participation rate, which is good because that's what subdues the volatility. However, we are moving into August, and we've talked about how August and September tend to compete with each other as to which one's the worst calendar month of the year for the markets. And so what we do know is historically, the first 9 trading days of August tend to be on the soft side. So that'd be through August 13th. And so we're making some changes that we'll touch on briefly at the end here, but make some changes to accommodate that, using it to our advantage. And, you know, just kind of talking a little bit more broadly, I do think that August and September will likely be sideways to lower, like we talked about last week. Obviously, there's a lot of things going on globally that could arise, but as of right now, I don't see any real concern towards a volatility event. So I just think it's going to be just like we've kind of grinded higher. I could see us just sideways to lower for the next couple of months. Participation rate will absolutely pick back up. That will likely happen towards the end of August, and that happens every year. You know, those are things we want to keep our eyes on. So now would be probably a good opportunity to go ahead and jump on over to Carl's Corner to go over some of these econ releases that we mentioned.
So last week we talked about two major events happening this week, is the GDP and the federal fund meeting. And GDP in the first quarter was negative, and that's what caused a lot of the volatility leading into all the tariff talks, because both things happening around the same time made a lot of investors uneasy. Well, yesterday, a lot of those concerns were quashed, at least on the GDP side. GDP came out as a 3% in that last quarter, in quarter two, which is fantastic. You go from negative to up 3. Normally when happens, you see negative into either a little smaller negative or just, you know, under 1% of growth. The fact that it shot all the way up to 3 is a very good sign for the economy, and that is what's going into the slow grind that Scott has been talking about. And a slow grind is exactly what we're looking for in the market, because slow grind normally means a lot of confidence going forward.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you know what I like about those markets is they tend to be more predictable. Now, obviously, you can always have some unforeseen event, but when you have a volatility index that has slowly grinding lower, which means then the markets are slowly grinding higher, that's an environment that is a bit easier to manage. I think that too, you know, well, we've got a lot of earnings announcements, even today with Apple and I believe Amazon, right? And so, you know, there are certain factors at play here, but you just covered GDP. I'll talk real quick about the inflation numbers. PCE came out and it was nothing surprising. It was right on par. But I do think that we are seeing these inflationary measures starting to come closer into target, into the Fed's target. And, you know, they talked a little bit about that in yesterday's meet. But, you know, we highlighted September because of the Fed meet yesterday. And how surprising was it to look this morning to see the September meeting now only a, what is it, 40% probability?
I was very surprised to see the shift that happened that quickly. And so we do watch and listen to Powell when he speaks, because as Scott has mentioned multiple times, that actually has a lot of weight. And a lot of the individual words he'll use throughout the speech goes into probabilities going forward. And yesterday, they were shooting up and down and left and right. You know, there's at one point in time, there's only a 10% chance of a rate reduction, and now we're back up to 40. So when we're talking about the fluidity of these probabilities, we really mean it. They are fluid every day, and they move all the time. Now, the market has already built in one rate cut this year. So we do believe there still should be a rate cut, but now it's looking like they may pass September and look for October. And the main reason for that is because of the inflation number still being around 2.7%, which they want it closer to 2%, as well as there's not yet completely 100% firm tariff numbers, which Powell has said he is reluctant to do anything until we get firm, done numbers and we can see what a quarter looks like with firm tariff numbers.
I think it's important to point out too that there was two dissenters in yesterday's meeting, and that's not the most common not the most common thing to see. And wouldn't it be funny if one of those two dissenters was the next Fed chair? I would not It would not surprise me.
No, that seems like it would be par for the course, and when you're saying it doesn't happen very often, it hasn't happened in decades. It almost never happens that the governors normally vote along with the Fed chair, with whatever the Fed chair says, and now they have a meeting back and forth, look at numbers, but normally it's a consensus vote. Every now and again you'll get a one, but a two dissenters is fairly unheard of.
Yeah, and I bet we'll hear from one, if not both of them, over the next week or so. It would make sense. So, yeah, that's kind of interesting, and it does point towards the fact that, hey, we know that there's external pressures on the Fed to cut rates, but obviously now there's internal pressures as well. And I said this a long time ago. I don't know. I don't think very many people have this opinion, but it is my opinion that they really messed it up on the way up by not being aggressive enough, whereas everyone else says they were moving too fast. I don't think so, and I did plenty of podcasts about that. They're in a box, but they put themselves in this box. So now, like to your point, they don't want to make any sort of major economic moves with there being any sort of uncertainties out there, like obviously tariffs. You've got couple of global wars. They're not really going to want to be quick, but they also can't just keep kicking it down the road. And a 25 basis point cut is not going to create a resurgence in inflation. But I'll tell you this, if we get to a September and then an October meet and the dissension is growing, that doesn't look very good either for confidence. And they did it to themselves. They put themselves in this box, but now they're going to have to do something at some point. They cannot get through the end of the year with yet again doing nothing. And then if that were to be the case, then we know we're going to get a new Fed chair in May anyways. It's probably going to be one of these two that dissented, like I said. So anyways, yeah, I mean, and with the inflationary numbers starting to kind of come on track in terms of edging closer to the targets, I just don't, you can't do nothing, I guess is my point.
Absolutely, and I think they know that. And with the market having one cut baked in, if we get through September and there's no rate cut, and then the probability shift to October of what September's is today, so only a 20 or 30% chance in October of a rate cut, we are going to see the volatility that comes from that, and it will probably be volatility towards the downside because the market is going to take profits because they don't foresee it happening again. Because if it doesn't happen October or December, more than likely it may not even happen until May, and then you may see a big rate cut after the May one. So that is some of the things that we're looking for, and in these aspects, we're also making those edits inside of our portfolios to take advantage of, sector rotation, sector movements, and getting into what's going to be the Santa Claus rally, as well as really digging into the future rate cuts that should happen.
Yeah, and one of the really awesome things about proactive portfolio management is it gives us the ability to keep our head on a swivel. I mean, yes, we're talking about possibilities of no action out of the Fed, but we watch this every day, and it's very possible that by next week's podcast, we're saying, oh, it looks pretty certain that they are going to do rate cuts, in which case, we adjust that way. So I don't foresee any like major volatility per se. But like we opened up the podcast by saying, August, September, seasonally, just they tend to be sideways to lower anyways. But If for some reason it looks like there would be delays in rate cuts, then we adjust accordingly. So that's what I've always loved about our type of portfolio management, is really being able to, again, keep your head on a swivel, and a lot of times use these to our advantage. And we get to do so by making portfolio adjustments, like Carl, like you just mentioned, and also by, raising cash, or some in the past we've sometimes used volatility to our advantage. So volatility index to our advantage. So, there's just a lot of things to monitor, but that's what we do. So with that being said, Carl, do you have anything else?
I do not. If anyone out there enjoyed the market commentary and think somebody else might, feel free to forward us on over to them. We're also on the iHeartRadio app and the Podbean radio app.
Yes, awesome. Thank you for that. And with that, we're going to go ahead and wish everyone a happy upcoming Friday and weekend. And we're also going to go ahead and look forward to doing this again next week.